Fife fans, welcome back to Scotland's premier Fife-based podcast, Fife Club, where a few mates talk about anything and everything that takes their interest. What's the first rule of Fife Club?
All together now, talk about Fife Club. Well done, children.
Okay.
I thought you were going to go, all together now.
I was going to do the Chuckle Vision theme, but it's hard to put Fife Club into that because there's not enough. What do you call them?
Yeah,
words.
No, the like you don't have
syllables. There's not enough syllables.
Okay. All right,
it's too late in the fucking day.
there's no symbols in Fife Club. Symbols. Take that how you will. But yeah. Please talk about us. So first up, a bit of an apology for last week's break. It wasn't planned, but sometimes you just have to listen to the universe and let everyone shit through the eye of a needle when they need to.
Basically, it was all Kutch and Jamie's fault.
Yeah.
Dear they.
We simultaneously had dodgy bellies.
Yeah.
2 days.
Well, it was more like a tag team. You were one day in and I was the next day. I tagged in.
And then it was just busy all weekend, so it didn't happen. But yeah, so here we are again, ready to serve up some premium quality bullshit for you lovely people. So
straight from Kutchy's lobby.
Was it not just what you came through for the last week or so?
Well, with that, on the mics with my good self, Kutch, tonight, it's famous actor Daniel Day-Lewis playing the character from his famous film, My Left Floppy Toe. It's Jamie.
Hello.
And next to him is famous actor Daniel Day-Lewis in a new role playing a young hopeful thespian from Oakley. It's James.
How's it going? Now here comes the fun part. Which one of us is actually Daniel Day-Lewis?
I'm actual Denzel Washington playing Daniel Day-Lewis playing Jamie Brown.
That's deep.
He was on the one show today, Denzel Washington. But we all know it was Daniel Day-Lewis playing Denzel
Washington. She said that. Yeah. It was the first thing that came to mind. It's like Denzel Washington. Like,
I just think of Tropic Thunder every time that comes up.
Five.
What do you mean, you people? What do you mean, you people? Oh Jesus, it's so bad. But yeah, Denzel Washington. That was that wee conversation that inspired that intro this week.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, we've been away, and while we've been away, the world ended, or at least our childhood worlds ended.
Oh.
Yeah, the sad death of Barry Chuckle.
It kind of came out of nowhere as well, didn't it?
It was. Yeah. Well, as you say, out of nowhere. He was what,
70? He was like 73.
Was he?
He wasn't as old as 78 or something.
Still.
That's pretty old.
Yeah.
They were still going strong. They were still performing,
definitely were.
Doing live shows. They were filming TV shows and stuff. Like, they weren't like not doing anything. They weren't decrepit in any way.
No.
They had some kind of fitness to them.
It's sad news. And it's one of those things where like I kind of in recent years as an adult, they kind of became a bit of a side joke,
yeah.
You know, to me, to you, that whole kind of stuff. And, you know, there was always, you know, we've always joked about, obviously, you know, are they the ones that survived U-Tree, you know, that kind of stuff. But at the same time, with this, there's been a whole plethora of, like, video shares of Chuckle Brothers stuff from YouTube from, like, when we were kids. And I was just saying to you guys a minute or two ago that absolutely forgot how brilliant they were.
Yeah.
Someone shared a video, and I shared it to our chat as well, which was them doing a sketch, you know, basically where he said, you know, my name's Mr. We'll have to do new names, applying for a bank loan or something. Yeah. My name's Mr. What? Oh, I'll be Mr. Who then.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's just this classic comedy. But someone posted that, I can't remember where, saying this is like to Ronnie's level of comedy. And it really was. It's, you know, proper stuff. And sometimes it's just silly slapstick to get the kids laughing, but sometimes it's really good writing and you know.
Yeah, but I mean the slapstick as well was always really good. It was sort of your classic silent movie style, you know, nonsense going on there, which, yeah. I mean, there's no better slapstick than the old silent movies. You know, your Buster Keaton, Charlie Chaplin, Laurel and Hardy, the whole lot of them, you know, they were the kings of that because that was the medium they had to make people laugh with. So, and I think the Chuckle Brothers definitely nailed that, but at the same time had that two Ronnies. And you could see why it was a great kids show.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like I think you were saying, you know, that it transcended like young kids and like teenagers as well, and even into, you know, adults. It was absolutely silly nonsense.
For the sort of attitude, expect to see like maybe playing a student union or something.
Yeah, totally.
You know what I mean, like,
yeah. So Barry Chuckle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sad day, and cancer's a cunt.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, was he the one that married the girl? Was in her 20s, or was that?
Oh,
Paul?
Well. I have read before, but one of them was apparently a total, it's not speaking of all the dead, he was a total womanizer.
Yeah.
He was
a total shagger.
That's your thing?
Yeah.
I might be wrong, it might be
Paul. I totally thought there was something about them being swingers as well, but I have not been able to corroborate that. That's obviously been...
That's just
a Daily Star
headline.
An eye
test thing.
To be fair, they do work in children's TV, so there's always like that shady undertone of like the people who work together are proper like... Well, it was like the guy who did Teletubbies, he did an interview and it was like, what was it like? He's like, oh, all the actors sleep together all the time. All the time.
Getting his pinky winky away.
Yeah.
It was just like, well, I really hope Paul and Barry didn't sleep together. That's not right.
Well, no. They'd swing and pass people about to me to you.
Oh, I was trying to avoid a to me to you.
I couldn't help it. Can't help it.
Yeah, no, that's horrific.
Yeah, we have no evidence that they were swingers.
No, none.
We're just
allegedly.
Yeah. There's no alleged. They aren't. We're just, you know, being ourselves.
I think that does need to be a t-shirt.
Yeah, allegedly.
Five Club, allegedly.
Yeah. Like a Wikipedia citation needed one. Yeah.
Next to the Colonel Sanders with the bucket. Oh,
allegedly. Yeah, no, that's sad days, and it just, you know, again another bit of our childhood dying. What's the point? Death is inevitable.
A reminder that you're getting old, by the way. Fun fact, as speaking of getting old, did you know that Macaulay Culkin turns 38 in 2 weeks?
Yeah, I did.
Jesus Christ.
He's a bit mental these days, is he not?
No, he's pretty on the level.
Is it? Yeah, he's more on the level now.
I thought he'd kind of gone a bit mental.
He did.
Like, yeah, but
not that long ago.
When they say went a bit mental, right?
He just kind of went and done his own thing.
He basically was taking drugs and drinking, but he was like a fucking child star in LA. Yeah. What else are you going to do?
Well, that's true.
You know what I mean? Like, what else are you going to do? If we had that much money when we were that age,
yeah.
What the fuck, I'd be fucking dead. You know what I mean?
To be fair, it wasn't as if like...
In a cloud of coke.
Yeah. Like, holy shit.
I don't think it was like so much that he went on a total downfall either. He just went,
having a good time.
Yeah, yeah, let's enjoy myself. And I listened to the Joe Rogan podcast, and he talked about like going to France and living there for ages and doing stuff like that, and just enjoying life because he's made all his money and he can just do whatever.
Well, speaking of the Joe Rogan podcast, questionable
people
mental to have on. he had on Alex Jones.
Yep.
Not the one show presenter, as Max asked in our chat when we were talking about Alex. Is that the one show presenter? No, it's not. Although maybe I think they are the same person.
Could you imagine that? Like, you're sitting watching someone. 9/11 was an inside job. Alex, where's that come from?
Alex Jones of the One Show has strong opinions about Sandy Hook.
Yeah.
Christ.
Oh my god.
Again. That's not the same Alex Jones that we're talking about.
So we're talking about Alex Jones, owner and runner of Infowars.com.
Not for much longer, I'd imagine.
Well, no, it's his company.
And it will still...
Oh, do Gangbusters.
It will still... The people that that like his show and watch him and are fanatics will still be fans.
Maybe just explain what's going on first.
Yeah, so
Alex Jones, conspiracy theorist, he's said things in the past about all sorts of crazy shit about chemtrails and 9/11 and Sandy Hook children.
He's basically a denier of Sandy Hook.
Yeah, he thinks that there were child actors paid to pretend that they were in there and that no one died because they got a morgue report, but actually that morgue is for different stuff, you know, because it was a federal crime, so it would have gone to a different morgue. Anyway, so he's been banned finally from like Facebook and YouTube. Not Twitter.
No.
Even you, is it you porn? The porn site is Take It Alex Jones off.
Really? Because it was Facebook, Twitter. Was it Google as well? Took them off, like Google Plus and stuff?
Twitter didn't.
Twitter haven't because they went on a defense, which was pretty fucking weak.
Yeah.
And tried again this whole thing.
Oh, no, sorry.
Yeah, it's another one of these things where the kind of Twitter kind of trying to claim that they aren't part of the media,
and
that it's down to the media and journalists to do the job of refuting them, and it's like, no, you guys, I get my news from Twitter, I get my news from Facebook, you know, it's
they're like the paper. And we're the journalists.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the thing. You're totally publishing.
Yeah.
Courts in the UK have said this multiple times now. If you post something on social media, I don't know about Facebook, but definitely Twitter, you are acting as if you've published something. So I could probably be sued to high heaven about the shit I say, but whatever.
That's all come out with like the super junctions and whatnot. Is that if you start talking about it on Twitter, then you might as well be putting it in the paper.
Yeah.
You have a bigger audience, basically.
And they sort of took, Twitter kind of took this weird moral high ground, inverted commas, obviously, of promoting the whole free speech side of things. It's like, come on now. There's free speech
and there's hate speech.
Yeah, there's free speech and there's hate speech. There's a difference. You got to be sensible about this. Mm. Like, I think maybe they were worried that like they were conforming to a big call to arms for people, but then at the same time it's like he brought it upon himself, like you can't just come out and say stuff like that and expect to get away with it, you know. There's got to be a line drawn.
Saying that the Democrats have like Pizzagate and all that, have like sex parties, child abuse sex parties, and it's the sort of shit that he used to say. And I've just realised that we just talked about Chuckle Brothers being swingers. But that's not the same.
No.
Right? It's not the same.
No. That is comedic.
But then what we said is I thought they were swingers, but there's nothing to corroborate that.
No. We're just,
Alex Jones would just say they were swingers.
We're riffing for comedic effect, and it's complete fantasy.
Like,
it's my ultimate fantasy. No. So,
oh, God.
So,
no. A chuckle sandwich.
Oh, my God. Oh my god.
Oh dear.
Oh my dear lord. So on the thing of free speech, a guy, Patrick S. Tomlinson, had an amazing tweet, be retweeted 6,000 times. First they came for Alex Jones, and I said nothing, because the entire point of that poem was a warning against letting fascist assholes like him have a voice in the first place.
That's quite good, yeah. It's just amazing that he's even a thing. But it's
shock culture now, though, isn't it? Like, you're saying things that are really offensive that draw attention.
I was going to say, though, on the sort of comedy side of thing you were talking about a second ago, when he was in court, I think he was for custody of his son.
Yeah,
he claimed, his lawyer claimed, that it was a character, because the other side were obviously using this show, he was like unstable, but they were saying it was a character and a persona that he uses. And
which is then makes it even more horrific.
Yeah.
Because he might not actually believe any of the shit he says.
He doesn't believe most of what he says, but he definitely has a political agenda.
Yeah.
Like a right wing, claims to be like a libertarian, but I think he's actually an authoritarian.
Mm-hmm. And then, but then it opens the door to other things. Like, how many people could come out with really awful things like, and just go, oh, I'm just playing a character.
I'm
putting on a persona. I don't really think these things. It'd be that easy now.
Well, with all the shit he believes, my favorite conspiracy theory is that Alex Jones is actually Bill Hicks playing a character.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's so much on this online, and it's so good. So it's like they've both got the same gap in their teeth. If you look at their faces, they are actually quite similar.
Yeah.
Bill Hicks could age into Alex Jones. And it's Bill Hicks isn't dead, and he's Alex Jones. Like in that a sort of Kaufman-esque.
That's probably Kaufman. Yeah,
that would be... If that was true and that was to come to light, it would be the greatest thing ever. Horrific, but amazing.
You would have like to stand and applaud.
That beats Daniel Day-Lewis at anything.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
Oh, that would kick...
Like,
that would kick
dying
Daniel.
To become a new character that's hated by the world.
Yeah. I mean, Daniel Day-Lewis would have to step up his game big time.
You know? It's actually, when you think about, like, Bill Hicks' comedy as well, like, his kind of ranty, sort of uncontrolled... sort of style.
Yeah.
Again, it could very well be Alex Jones.
Should we take a little detour off of our track and talk, since we're talking about Daniel Day-Lewis and acting, did you see the news about the Oscars? About the popular category. That's basically for Disney.
Yeah.
for Marvel and all that, all those, because they are not Oscar movies.
Yeah.
And so this gives them a chance to win a picture category rather than technical categories.
Categories.
So you're not really winning it on merit, you're just winning it because, like, you made the box.
Well, it's an interesting debate because although I don't think you can judge it, because then what's going to be, the Smurfs be included? That had a fucking massive box office.
Possibly.
You still got to have an accounting for quality, though.
You do, but if you're but the thing is, if you're going to account for how popular something is, the popularity has to be some sort of metric as well.
Yeah.
Maybe just to let something in. But it's weird because it's kind of not what the Oscars is about.
Yeah.
What the Oscars is really about is...
them wanking one another off.
Well, I was about to say it's about bribery. Yeah. Is what it's really about.
Yeah.
It's about, like, the voters being bribed by massive parties and everything else, and whichever studio spends enough, the most money wins, sort of thing.
Yeah. It's an interesting one because it is something that I always think that, you know, you've got films that come out, your big blockbusters, your Fast and Furious, your Mission Impossibles, you've got your Marvels, you've got your...
See, that's... Fast and Furious couldn't go in.
No.
Yeah.
Well, it could.
I couldn't.
But it shouldn't. But
if
it could.
If you're going down that route, letter of the law, you would say, yeah.
Yeah. But these bring in all the money.
Yeah.
You know,
and, but don't get enough recognition.
But don't get the recognition. Yeah. And apart from technical things. And you know what? Some of these films... should, but they just get discounted straight away because they are popcorn munching seat fillers.
And it's the same with comedy films as well. It's very rare that you see a comedy, although I suppose comedy in movies is a little bit of a different game, but there's a quality too. There's really good quality.
Unless it's like an indie film, some like, you know,
well,
like Juno and things like that, which have...
This is sort of the argument against it.
Mm-hmm.
Things like, say, Juno, or the example I saw used today was Get Out.
Right.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So Get Out was up for Best Picture.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't win it, but it was up for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen Get Out. It's fucking fantastic. Like, but people are like, if this category existed, Get Out wouldn't have been in the Best Picture category. Mm-hmm. It gets shoved into the popular category. And it's like, that's a good point. You're also then, you know what I mean? You're taking away films that...
Yeah.
Because there was a big art, people were like, oh, Get Out isn't an Oscar film. It's like, what do you mean? Because it's a horror.
Yeah.
It wasn't just a horror. It was like a
social commentary. Yeah. And,
exactly. It had tremendous acting in it as well. And
I've not seen it, and I just know that...
You'd really like it. It's really good.
Just one of those films I've not got around to seeing.
So what's our thoughts? Yay or nay?
What is the metric and what are they judging it by? Because, I mean...
Bribery. Again, fucking bribery. That's how
I mean, somebody said basically they've made a category for Black Panther.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
Black Panther might not be a contender for it.
No, it would.
That sort of thing, like, talking about, like, Black Panther, how that's changed a lot of things, and, like, if a film like that, even if it isn't a contender this time round, but because of that film, that's a category that's been added.
Do you know what?
That film's changed Hollywood.
Something I've not seen that's got good reviews Yeah, you're absolutely right, actually. Mm. But something that's a good film that's got good reviews but would never be put in Best Picture category is something like A Quiet Place.
Well, that's what I was going to say, yeah.
But that could fit into a popular
yeah.
category thing quite well.
And it's probably a film that does deserve an Oscar, but it wouldn't get put in for it, you know?
No. When are we going to bring in Best Kiss, like the MTV Awards?
That's...
You know,
that's
stuff like exactly that, I don't know. Like,
I was obviously joking.
Best kiss or, I'm back to the original point.
Best bum.
I'm kind of on the fence, more leaning towards nay. I'm not a big fan of the idea of doing a popular Oscar vote. Again, I know it's all bribery.
I think because sometimes the Oscars can just seem so far up its own arse.
It's also because their viewership's down massively.
Yeah.
Like, but that's because most films that people would see aren't even considered.
The other thing is that it's going to be a 3-hour show now as well.
Instead of 25
hours, yeah.
Are they going to do... But does that mean they're going to do a lot of technical categories like the day before or earlier in the day or something like that?
I don't know. Or if they just rattle through those.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the time you don't see...
They might do what BAFTA does because BAFTA has like...
Like a pre-show.
Yeah. BAFTA has like... Yeah, but... Don't but BAFTA do have like a separate?
Well, they have like a separate technical awards or something. BAFTA split theirs up throughout the year because they have
the games one.
The games, the film.
Don't
the
they
CG,
have a? Don't TV, yeah, film two. But don't they have like a technical one as well?
Probably.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Do.
Very possible.
Radio as well have one for that.
Yeah.
Sorry. Oh no! Finish your thought. I'm gonna have to get mine's back. Sorry, so I'll let you crack on. Finish your thought, and I'll get mine's back.
Can't remember now.
Ah well, we're doing well.
I was gonna call it to an end, but then you said. You seemed like you had something to say.
I did have something to say, but I totally forgot.
this is quality
that
content.
That was it. It was like, maybe what the Oscars are going to do is maybe up their game from the Speedboat. You know, maybe they'll give a house this year for the quickest speech. You know, something really cool like that.
Oh,
That was their sort of incentive to get quick speeches out last year. Yeah. Like, if you do the quickest speech, you will win a speedboat. Yeah, what if you live in fucking Alaska? What are you going to do with your speech then?
But little did you know, the speedboat is actually played by Daniel Day-Lewis.
Like he's just sitting there and they go, whoa, 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 like that the whole time.
Dave's just getting ready to ride him.
Does that guttural engine sound so well?
that's what you're going to win if you get the short speech in the Oscars next year. You'll get Daniel Day-Lewis. He'll be literally whatever you want him to be. Give him 2 weeks and he'll be exactly what you need him to be.
What was the line that you came out with that night? Was it just shove more diesel in my arse?
I think it was into my gaping arse.
Into my gaping arse. Yeah. Oh fucking hell. Daniel Day-Lewis.
Addicted to it now.
Daniel Day-Lewis
so method.
Daniel Day-Lewis may not be the method actor that you want, but he's definitely the method actor that we all need.
Especially on the island. Well, kind of on the back of that as well, talking about popular films, I went to see one. Ant-Man and the Wasp at the weekend, a whole fucking month after the rest of the world had managed to see it.
Yeah, because I was getting a message.
Thank you, fucking World Cup.
Now I don't have any fucking money. Earlier, like last month, I had money, and I was like, oh, I'll get a wee message. I was starting to type into the group chat. I was like, anybody want to go see? Wait a second. I'm sure there's something about this. Looked it up. Fucking delayed.
Yes.
Because all the American reviews coming in. I was like,
That's it. Because of the World Cup, which meant for a whole fucking month, I had to go avoiding pretty much every source of news that I look at because I have it all tailored for that shit.
Yeah.
Like, actually tailored. Like, Google sends me fucking news. I had to turn off the notifications because, like, it was just, I kept getting bits and it was like, I just don't want to know. YouTube.
I've ruined so many MMA results if I've gone to sleep and I'll catch up in the card and then I just, like, automatically check sites and I go, fuck it.
And it's like fucking algorithms, you know exactly what I'm after and send me shit now as well. So, that was fucking impossible. I do not appreciate that. Just because some fuckers want to watch the World Cup and won't go to the cinema, and it puts the cinemas off, the big studios off putting their films out.
Yeah. World Cup was fun, but it was very low quality.
Yeah, I would have preferred to see Ant-Man and the Wasp.
I know you would.
But anyway, got to go and see it. And you know what? Fun film. It's pretty much like the first film.
A little bit middle of the road.
Bit middle of the road, but kind of a fun caper. Like, fun couple of ideas. There's not so. There's lots of good stuff with the shrinking and growing and stuff like that, but nothing that was a surprise this time. Yeah. Like, there was a few things in the first film that were like kind of cool.
Yeah.
With the sort of the mechanics of how that all worked, and then
all looked like it was taken from Edgar Wright's showreel as well.
Yeah. And then there was the we got the reveal in Civil War of Giant Man.
Yeah.
You know, of going the other way and being huge. There was nothing like that in this. I mean, ideally, Giant Man probably should have been left for a sequel.
Yeah.
But...
Well, they've got it, and we're going to do this.
Yeah, so, well, that's it. Tough. So, but, yeah, like, the story, as I say, moves along. You can definitely see a difference in the writing and the directing that there's no Edgar Wright in this one.
No, there's really. So there were traces. More, it felt like there were traces of him before.
There's more Peyton Reed and Paul Rudd. There were another two writers who did the main lot of it. You can see where they've both had their input as well, because Paul Rudd was on the writing team for this. Yeah. Again, though, fair enough. It's the character that he's playing, and he does have comedic chops, and he's got the timing. He does writing and directing, so I'm absolutely not against it. It's just you can tell that this film is different.
I still feel we were robbed of Edgar Wright's.
Yeah.
Ant-Man. That would have been fan-fucking-tastic.
But hey-ho was not to be. But yeah, like I say, good fun film. It's actually kind of a bit of a refreshing one in that it could easily be a standalone. It doesn't rely on anything else. Doesn't rely on Infinity War.
I was just about to ask.
It's before Infinity War. Exactly where I'm still not too sure of. It's probably not too far before it. The end has a consequence.
Okay.
And I don't think I'm saying anything out of line saying that. It's obvious. These next two films, this one and Captain Marvel, are obviously going to tie in.
Speaking of, can I just mention an Easter egg that I saw? So one of the guys, one of the bad guys in Infinity War, has a sash hanging off of his belt.
All right,
and it looks like Captain Marvel's colors.
Ah,
it's like the red and blue with like the star.
All right,
and people are wondering if he's killed Captain Marvel. Yeah, and yeah, which is interesting.
That is interesting. That's cool. Well, I think we'll probably find out something more about that soon.
We should be getting a trailer soon.
It's February next year, I think, or March.
No, we should be getting a trailer pretty soon. Then.
Yeah, I reckon fall. There'll be something soon.
As we'd say.
I wonder if they might not want to try and give away too much too soon.
Yeah, but you'll get
you could get a teaser trailer.
Because
we've seen literally nothing apart from a few stills and
of her in
photos.
A green suit, but it'll probably change. That's probably its automatic thing.
That's about all we've seen. So that's still to come as well. But yeah, I'd recommend it if you've been following it, you've probably seen it, the whole Marvel thing. If you've got something to do or nothing to do and you want to go see a film, it's an enjoyable, 2 hours? Lots of de-aging being used in it as well.
Oh, really?
Really well.
Okay.
Sharon Stone, Michael Douglas, and Lawrence Fishburne. Although Lawrence
Because there
Fishburne,
was some in the first film, and it looked a little...
It was just Michael Douglas.
Yeah.
It looked okay.
But it looked like a picture had been made to move.
Yeah.
Michael Douglas. It was a bit strange.
Yeah. And then they did Civil War. And had young Robert Downey Jr. And then they did Guardians of the Galaxy 2 and had young Kurt Douglas.
Yeah.
Kurt Russell. Sorry, young Kurt Russell.
The young Robert Downey Jr. is the best one I've seen on screen.
Yeah,
by
definitely.
A mile. Yeah. By an absolute mile.
But yeah, the Michael Douglas, the Sharon Stone, like the young Sharon Stone's really good.
And then we had CG Grand Moff Tarkin, which... I can't believe people didn't know he was.
Do you know what though? See if you didn't know he was dead.
Yeah, because BT didn't know. And then we were talking about it and he was like, oh, was he really?
And Mark as well. Mark said he didn't notice it, but he didn't really think about it. Where I don't know if
Mark's a troglodyte. I would expect Mark, but BT.
Yeah.
Beatty with his, you know, I'd expect Beatty to spot it.
But then that is maybe
Beatty looking at Siege computer generated things for 90% of his
life. Yeah. But how much is that the Uncanny Valley effect by knowing?
Yeah, exactly. You know, they just had it in reflections and shit and in the back.
I think
and,
like, that would have worked for me. Yeah.
It would have worked well. Yep. Anyway.
But anyway, apparently Captain Marvel has Fury, Sam Jackson.
Yeah, he's been de-aged, doesn't he? And he's got two eyes, I think.
Yeah, and Clark, what's his face, Agent Coulson.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The two of them are going to be in it quite extensively, and they're being de-aged for the whole film. So it'll be interesting to see how that works. I was just saying as well, the de-aging effect for Lawrence Fishburne is actually kind of helped by the fact that the scene that he's in, the younger version of himself, is actually played by his son, which is what they did with T'Challa as T'Chaka, sorry.
Yeah, you could tell that when you watched it, it was played by him.
It was his son, so yeah.
It was... when they de-aged Lawrence Fishburne,
mm-hmm.
did they do what we did for Matrix 2 posters and remove all his pock marks from his face?
No.
Which are like his defining feature on his face. And that was so weird, because I remember when he came out, everybody's like, there's something weird about this poster.
Yeah.
Because we saw it in the cinema, I was like, I don't know what it is. It's like, they've taken away all his pock marks and stuff.
The thing is, he's quite bearded these days. So he is, isn't he? The younger version as well, being obviously played by his son, but with elements of his face over it, also had the gap in his teeth.
Can we quickly talk about, very quickly talk about Justice League? Because I watched it the other day.
Oh,
I have. Right,
on the subject of CG faces, how awful.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Although, it is awful. Although, and we're talking about, and I think we talked about it before, but Henry Cavill, Superman.
Yeah.
Basically, he filmed it, then the filming all went to shit, and the director changed, and Joss Whedon came in, and they had to refilm loads of the scenes. When they came in to refilm it, they had to get Henry Cavill away from Mission Impossible, which is out now. For Mission Impossible, he'd grown a moustache, and they basically wanted, they were in like talks with Paramount to have him shave off the moustache so they could do all the extra scenes for Justice League.
Yeah.
And they even demoed that it would be really easy for them to put a moustache back on him, and that they would pay for it. The Warner Brothers would pay for it. And Paramount were just dicks and said no, which meant that Warner Brothers had to remove the moustache from Henry Cavill's face, and it just looks awful.
Right, I think that's a metaphor for the entire film for me.
Yeah.
I wasn't a big fan. Like, it's a mess. And not only that, there's bits, probably because Whedon did reshoots, where it's just clearly CG.
Yeah.
But of real places, so like inside a church at one point, and when they're at that statue, which I think one part of the film might be real, and then later on they go back to it, and it's like this is CG now.
Yeah.
What the fuck? And it looks like, you know, in like PlayStation 1 and 2, where you'd get like a 3D background by like, it'd just be a painted sphere around you. That's what it looked like. I mean, it looked high quality, but it didn't have any depth to it.
Probably some of the best bits were like the bit on Themyscira. That was okay.
I got a bit of the action fatigue.
Yeah,
I was like, oh, it was just bang, too bang, much bang, action all the time.
The final, the best bit was probably when Hopeful Superman came in.
Yeah,
yeah,
that was all right.
And you got the little sting of the John Williams music, and it was just sort of like, this is how you should have been from the start. And not mopey emo.
Cyborg looks fucking awful.
Yeah.
Like, just terrible. I can't believe that.
I saw a thing at London Comic Con just a few weeks back where it was the signing desks, and there was, one of the doctors, there was, I think it was Peter Capaldi, in fact, and there was, like, a whole load of folk, and there was queues all behind, and then there was one table empty, and it was Ray Fisher, who played Cyborg, and just nobody standing there, and it's just that actually breaks my heart, because he didn't sign up for that.
Yeah. I was surprised. I actually liked Barry Allen.
Oh, yeah. He's...
I was surprised how good that was. I was actually like, this sort of works. I liked Aquaman out of the water.
Yeah.
When he was underwater, I was like, this is shit.
Yeah.
And the Wonder Woman stuff, like at the beginning, mm-hmm. very like first scene of a film or something, or yeah. second scene, is really fucking, that's yeah. like, that looked like it could have been pulled, at least the idea from like the Wonder Woman TV show.
Yeah.
And it was great. And it
was good, yeah. That
but,
was.
But it's still not a good film.
No.
It's a solid 2 out of 5 for me.
And most of the scenes with Affleck looks like he's just phoning it in.
Yeah, he doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah, he's
he just, does not care.
It's like the scene when he's still got the half the ammo on and there's like no bare chest like in the first one. He keeps everything on. It's like because you can quite tell, easily tell, he's put on pounds.
He has, since, he's bigger.
So they obviously... Yeah. They filmed
and
it,
he's not and bigger in a swole way.
No, they filmed it, which is when they're like at their peak, and then they've gone away, and then they've had to come back for reshoots, and he just has not kept up and just let go. Fine, great, because he'd done his job.
Yeah,
but you could kind of tell that there was a.
He's been on those, he knows egg yolks, but he's not yolked. So yeah. But
yeah,
it's
a shit film.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you've not seen it, James.
Don't.
Yeah. I would say do and yeah, despair. Don't despair. But
just
yeah,
get through it and then that's it.
Yeah,
definitely.
And now it's time for Radio 4. The desert island of dicks.
Yeah, we're back on the desert island. Are you trying to do some ASMR with my cat?
Heard it. What do you have to say, Milo?
Yes, Jamie's interviewing my cat right now.
What's your thoughts on today's climate, Kenny?
And the cat's come back to the island with us. Cat's replaced Mark.
Yeah.
For legal purposes, we must confirm that it's not the cat that was captured in Kutch's hut a few months back.
And unlike Mark, the cat looks after itself and it shits in one place.
Every time we go around, you just have to walk around turds all over his house. he really needs to learn to pick up. But yeah, we are back on the island. How did we get here this week?
I don't fucking know.
Incompetence.
Oh, we swam stomach. Here with the animals of Farthing Wood who've been forced out of the UK due to climate change.
And Brexit. Yeah.
You know how we're like, didn't want this episode to get any more depressing? No, with like Barry Chuckle and Alex Jones are like, yeah, we're swimming with the animals of Farthing Wood. Oh.
Jimmy, are you actually trying to get my cat coughing right now?
He is coughing.
Yeah, you're part of a podcast now. Well done, Kat.
Milo is our new star. Well, legend.
Yay!
So, aye, we're here. And this week, we kind of thought we would talk about which children's entertainer that we would bring to the island to help us to survive. So, don't think we've done that yet.
No.
Basically based on the sad death of our childhood and Barry Chuckle. Yeah. Yeah, we thought we'd have a wee chat about that. So, who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, I'm bringing someone who will be able to help me out with cryptic yet helpful tips.
Okay.
Who will be able to guide me on my quest.
Oh.
That's right. Yes. I'm bringing Trigard, the Dungeon Master from Nightmare. Yes.
Nice.
Now, he's going to tell me, he's going to not explain things to me. He's going to help me not only overcome obstacles, but become a better person as well. But the trade-off is that when he helps me, he's going to act as my team as well.
Right.
So I have to don a hat with horns on it.
I was just going
to
say, do you have the full kit on?
I do.
And then wander about a studio.
Yeah.
That's into entirely different blue rooms. Screen.
Yeah. Yeah. I was reading there, apparently we used like a Commodore to create the health bar at the bottom.
Aye.
Yeah. Fucking brilliant.
It's amazing. Like the tech that was used for that was outstanding. It was so old.
I'll buy a VR headset once for a nightmare game.
Oh, my God. I've always thought like Although I think somebody did do it as a festival.
They did do it. Yeah, it was one a couple of years ago.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool. But yeah, Traeger. Oh, man.
Yeah.
I'm just sort of thinking as well, like, would he also, like, have that...
Pickle. Fucking... No.
No. I was thinking that face that slowly strips away.
Yeah.
As you're dying.
I had nightmares about that when I was a kid.
Totally. That was absolutely terrifying. I remember watching an episode of it not that long ago on Challenge. And it is. It's still like, why would you show that to kids?
It gets hard as well. Like, towards the end, it's like, holy shit, it's pretty... Because only... I can't remember how many people made it, but it was quite rare to see people complete it.
Because that would be the ones that would go episode after episode after episode.
Yeah.
Because you would get the ones that would come on and within like two rooms that were dead. Yeah. Just like, yeah. And then, you would get the guys that would be like half a series.
Yeah.
And they would get like on the dragon and the, you know.
Oh, when you got on the dragon, that's the best bit. That's fucking brutal.
There's a bit in Skyrim. Which just reminds me of that. Like, absolutely reminds me of that. It's amazing.
I used to always say, they should have a dragon, but they should go on Falcor when I was a kid as well.
Yeah. Yeah. That would have been cool. Yeah. I don't know. Do you think he would have sort of helped you survive?
Yeah. Pause.
He's just scratching away being
a dickbag, aren't you? Get out. Get out. Eve, be gone.
Fucking cat.
So yeah, I think he would help me survive. Yeah. I think he'd, because there's going to be, something we don't talk about is just the day-to-day navigation of the island.
That's true.
There's going to be a lot of obstacles where he come. So something we don't talk about enough on the island is that there's going to be day-to-day obstacles, like very much like a computer game, actually, where you'll have alligators that you have to jump on the back of and a river with logs going down it that you have to jump on, and he'll be able to tell me exactly when to go, but the danger is he'll say it in a cryptic way.
Yeah, so that's true.
So I'll have to figure it out.
What if it's like a crocodile whose mouth's up and snapping and you have a rope?
Exactly.
And then you have to lasso the rope round the mouth to shut it and then jump onto his mouth and then jump. That's a lot to do while you're blindfolded and getting cryptic fucking questions from Traeger back. You know, it's just not going to work, is it?
No.
No.
It will work. It'll be fucking great. Tell he's not coming, it's fucking Pickle, who is the jester, who's pretty much the jester of Kill Jester Lemmy fame.
Kill Pickle.
No one likes Pickle.
Fucking.
That is actually entirely what Adventure Cult was based on, wasn't it, really?
Yeah.
Kind of the old text based games on the
slash Nightmare
Muds and stuff.
Slash that Raven show.
Oh yeah, the Raven Show, which was actually kind of a modern take on Nightmare, wasn't it? Yeah. It's kind of cool. Yeah, fair enough. James, who are you going to bring?
Well, a few episodes ago, you guys had a conversation on how you're going to inconvene other members of the island.
Oh yeah.
With options not limited to, but including, shitting in other people's toasters. I need some form of backup. I need some kind of support that's going to get me through each situation, that's going to give me my chance to get revenge and smite my enemies. So, gentlemen, I am bringing with me onto the island Dave Benson.
Yes.
The greatest man alive. I will fucking get my own back and you will know all about it.
He's been in the Nonagon, but he's yet to get to the island.
Battered, he's bruised, he's bloody, but he will be coming on the island with me. The gungeon that you will all be faced with is unreal.
Like, do you think he can make his own gunge out of, like, you know, sort of natural resources?
Please don't say his penis.
No, I'm saying natural resources on the island.
I'd imagine this might be
wanking gunge.
I imagine, like, well, he's getting older now.
Sometimes it's green, sometimes it's orange. Just never know.
Well, depends what mood he's like to think he's like a cow. Like, underneath his shirt, he's got a bunch of udders, and it's all just guns. You just milk him.
I don't know what's more perverted.
Yeah.
Five Club fan fiction on its way.
But did he not have a puppet as well? He did. Didn't he?
At one point.
Did he?
Phillips, yeah.
Don't remember Puppet.
Yeah. I don't know if it was on Get Your Own Back or if it was on something else that he did, but
Yeah, he was something else. Yeah. But I can imagine like some fun games and entertainment times, all at your expense and for my entertainment. Like, I was like, who's going to get their own back today? Me, on all of you bastards. And I'll have fun.
Me and Luke, me and friend of the podcast, Luke Palmer, had our own theme, our own song for the theme tune of Get Your Own Back, which went as follows. I've got a boner. I've got a boner. I've got a boner. I've got a boner. Fucking fantastic.
I can't even remember the theme.
Yeah.
That's it. It doesn't say I've got a boner, no, but the tune is...
It was kids shouting, get your own back, was it not? Yeah, something
like that. At one point, yeah. Also, another reason why I'm bringing Dave Benson Phillips into the island with me is he's combat tested. He recently started pro wrestling.
Really?
So he knows what he's doing.
Off.
No, he had a legit wrestling match last week.
Oh.
And it was fucking ace. If you can track it, if you can track it down, it is hilarious. Like, he actually has a wrestling match. And he does.
I think that has to be watched.
Yeah, I think we're going to have to watch that at some point. He does, like, a Bronco Buster on someone, and he's, like, properly grinded on some guy's face. It is so funny. Like, but he done it. The man done it. So he knows what it's like to come. He's been in the Noragon. He's been in the wrestling ring. He knows what he's doing.
He's very much the Brock Lesnar of Children's TV. Fight Club.
Jumping about all over the place. Yeah.
You're going down! You're going down!
Yeah, can you see me now? Woo!
Oh, man.
Can you see me now? Can you see the guns now?
Wow. But does he have a tattoo of a penis on his chest like Paul Lesnar does? Of course he does. And it's got guns coming out of it.
It's not a penis, it's a gunge gun.
Tell it to you, Tree. No, I'm not. Allegedly.
No. Well, he's a 90s entertainer. 90s entertainers are fine.
Yeah. Yeah, that's obviously a joke because not true because he's an absolute legend.
Yeah, until we find out otherwise. Yeah,
tell Jerry Sadowitz tells people 20 years beforehand, but we don't listen to him because it's in the middle of some horrific joke / card trick.
Yeah. Oh, dear.
Yeah, 90s entertainers wait until they're at least 18.
No.
Come on now, Barry. Like, Paul Chuckle married someone who's 24 and he was like 16.
That's fine, though.
That's
more than legally consent.
Love finds a way. Something like that. So who is your person, Gunch?
So I am going to bring a man that I think will save me. He'll take me to the moon. It's Mr. Boom.
Holy shit. My first ever gig.
Your first ever gig was Mr. Boom.
And I was convinced we were going to see the same kettle. And I was really upset because it was Mr. Boom. Even though I loved Mr. Boom. Because I had it in my head, I was going to see the same kettle.
I remember
same kettle were my second gig.
Same kettle, I think, was probably my first ever gig. Yeah. I remember seeing Mr. Boom at primary school. And we all gathered in the big sort of hall. We were all told to close our eyes really tight and then...
Use your imagination.
And there was noises of like a spaceship coming down.
Yes!
And and he then started like giving a commentary of him coming down. There was a countdown and we all had to keep our eyes closed for as long as we could. And then he was there in the room. Handful of kids kept their eyes open, or like one eye open, and saw him walk out the cupboard with his full kit on as well.
Right.
So again, if nobody knows who Mr. Boom is, Scottish entertainer, one man band, he came from the moon, and
use your imagination, jump over the moon,
jump over the moon,
legend.
Yeah. And he had the whole kit. He had the drum, the harmonica, different
banjo
horns and banjo. Yeah, he just a true symbol on his head.
One man band.
A true one and multi instrumentalist.
Yeah. And
we never got the same kettle Mr. Boom collab album. We were all hankering for.
Could you imagine? That should still happen.
You know what?
Especially now that they're doing like folk stuff.
Oh, yeah. Oh, oh, that'd be. I'd,
He still does Mr. Boom.
Yeah,
still
does he?
Yeah.
Just throwing this out there, right? We're at a standard now where we have connections. You know, Funbox have got in touch with us. You know, it wouldn't be too hard to throw a tweet their way and say, here, by the way, we've got this great idea.
You it guys, will make you literally tens of pounds.
We'll do it. We'll do it in some tiny pub in King's Kettle. Yeah, you'll fucking great.
You'll take over the whole of Kouris for a day.
So good. So good.
We should make this happen now.
Yeah.
We're not even drunk. This is legit. We've only on tea. It's like, yeah, we're doing this. Let's do this.
Fuck Funbox.
Fuck them. You're coming back as the OG Kettle.
You West Coast cunts. No.
Apart from Gary, you need to come back for a singing kettle.
Oh, yeah.
Mr.
Yeah.
Boom.
Okay, I take it back.
Yeah. But, you know.
That's it's really the sweet jams between Gary and Mr. Boom you want to hear. And then and maybe have Scylla scat sing over the top.
Oh, I think that is like my perfect like album.
You know,
like,
how
I need to have this happen.
You know how like they've got the Rewind Festival for like 80s bands. You need that with the like singing kettle and Mr. Boom and like,
yeah, Funbox. 80s Scottish children's entertainers.
Yeah, damn right.
I would get Glenn Michael as well, and
you know
the
what?
Whole lot.
I would pay a fuckload of money for that. I'm not even joking. Like, and you know what?
I think we need to crowdfund this.
Yeah. So what you should do, right? You do two different shows, right? You do a daytime show for the families and the kids. Then you do a nighttime show where everyone gets plastered and we just see how things go.
Like, yeah, just
get
a phone-up
version of the shows. Yeah. Which would be ace.
Oh, man, that is a team-up I've just never even thought. Oh,
Let's make it happen.
Yeah.
Let's make it happen.
So,
if you're listening right now and you have any connections to any of these people, get them in on this. Message them, email them, like harass them and say, we're doing this. Like, we'll Wayne's World it. I don't give a fuck. We'll book a venue. If you book them, they will come.
This week.
I thought you were going to say we'll make it happen and then get bought by a larger company and lose our soul and have to.
We'll sell ourselves out just.
But you were meaning Wayne's World 2.
Yes.
Yeah. But you know, if
the
anybody
Indian
wants
and all that, you know,
if anybody wants to buy a local podcast for a lot of money,
I mean, by all means, yeah. I will sell my soul.
I will do ungodly things.
I will
things.
Give you a good gungeon and all.
I thought you were going to say gobble there for a minute.
Well, no, I thought I'd go reference back to this episode.
But yeah, a good gungeon.
Yeah, yeah. Certainly you will be going down.
Yeah.
You're going down,
Jamie,
you're going down.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
For 20 quid.
I'll be honest, I don't really know how he'd help me survive, except for the fact that I am just hoping that he has something more than imagination to get me to the moon.
Well, if he's got the ingenuity to be a one-man band here... Well, surely he's going to have the ingenuity to somehow, you know, craft a building or a fire at least.
Craft a building? This isn't Fortnite, mate.
For all we know, he could be Robinson Crusoe in disguise. Well, you know, you got to work on that.
I'm going to take the counter argument. I think Mr. Boom, as a sort of guy, motivational guy to keep you going, because it's the mental challenge of living on the island. We've got the physical infrastructure there. Mr. Boom is going to help you believe in yourself and believe that there are solutions, and you just have to believe in yourself to find them.
And just use your imagination.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One day you will have a plantation also.
It'd maybe be like, I wonder if he does yoga on the side.
I've been rewatching Into the Badlands and it's made me think about my plantation. Oh, yeah, boy. Yeah, it's so good. It's so bad and so amazing all at the same time. I love it.
Yeah.
How's Traeger going to help you in your plantation?
Who's sorry?
Traeger.
Oh, Traeger.
Don't ask that question. That could get really dangerous.
Well, his side job will be as an actual dungeon master where all the disobedient animals who ain't pulling no weight go. They go into the dungeon.
So I suppose he is a dungeon master. So yeah, that works.
That's his full-time job.
Job, yeah.
Yeah,
and on
you
the
never,
side,
what they never tell you in Nightmare is that he actually used to cage all the kids afterwards who failed, even the dead ones, even the ones who fell down the fucking off the side of a thing. He'd
like
put them
Trump.
In there. He'd put them in there dead with the other kids.
Oh God, this is getting sinister.
Like Trump,
again.
Allegedly.
Wait, what?
Of all the kids.
Oh.
Of all the dungeons he has mastered and owned, he will never go near Philip Schofield's dungeon.
Oh, no, that's a good point.
Allegedly. Yeah. That, yeah. That is one dungeon that's too far for even him.
Well, yeah. Phil and...
Absolutely.
Phil and... what's his name? Austrian. Cave.
Fritzel.
Fritzel, yeah. I've forgotten what I was saying. That took so long. The two of them. You wouldn't want to go anywhere near their dungeons.
Okay. No, that's a good point.
Yeah, definitely not.
That was not worth that way.
Absolutely not worth it in the end. It would have been fine if I'd remembered his name, but hey, whatever. So, yeah. Let's get off the island. And,
let's go to civilization.
Bring things to a close. Next week, I think we're going to try and do a bit of a sort of fringe episode, because by that point, I'll have been... Me and you are heading to... Well, I'm going across tomorrow to see a few things. Me and you will be at the Whiskey Fringe on Saturday.
Oh, Lord.
Good God, we're looking forward to that. If you've listened to the White... we're not going to be doing any recording from there, but no. If you've listened to the Fife Festival, Whiskey Festival...
It's like that times 10.
Yeah, we're going to that, but it's like bigger, like huge. And it's all the big names, all the big whiskey names, and we are going to get... absolutely messy.
Yeah but not messy because we're planning to get messy. Messy because we're gonna have so much delicious,
so many good
whiskey, great whiskey.
Yeah. Like I say, I was initially sort of going in with a plan of I don't want to get too wrecked, but I want to enjoy what I'm having. I'll maybe choose like 10 or 12 ones that I really want to try and see if I can get round and get them. Then the program came out the other day and oh my God, no, that's out the window. There's just too many that I want to try, so I'll try as many as I can get down me.
That'll absolutely
be nope, not jealous in the slightest. I'll be wrecked. not even jealous. Not yeah. Even jealous in the slightest, you pair of cunts.
Liar. So yeah, we'll try and talk up a bit of fringe, and hopefully whoever else we've got on will have seen a few things.
I'll be over a lot of the fringe as well. I've been a few things as well.
You've already been.
Give us some shout outs.
Nevermore Theatre Company, they have a show called EH16 Pyre, which is a horror based film around about witches. It's hard to explain in just like 2 seconds, so I would say very much go and see it. It's a really well put together piece of theatre. Mm-hmm. It's not immersive, but you are closed in. It's very close up. Yep. It is quite intense. If you are of a nervous disposition, if you don't like flashing lights, it might not be for you. Mm-hmm. But it is really well put together. Really well written. They've developed the script themselves. It's went through 3 iterations and they're putting this out. So I went to see it last night. Strange Town, my parent company is Per. They're doing a play called Dr. Korchak's Example, which is based around World War II and the Jews being extradited to the camps. Mm-hmm. It's the beginnings of that, which is really interesting. I did have a friend who was, I think it's like sex, drugs and something else. I can't remember what it's called, but it's a really good play. I'll put it up on the socials and put it up there. Cool. There's lots of really good, interesting stuff. What I will say, I'm going to make a declaration. Mm-hmm. I was going to keep this from you until I had it happen, mm-hmm. but I think we're going to have to tell you about it right now. I'm going to put it here. There is a woman on the grass market. Now I'll race you guys to this if you like this idea. She has a typewriter and she writes things. She will write smut as you wait. Now I saw her and my first thought, and it is going to happen whether you like it or not, was I'm going to go and talk to her about Fife Club. I'm going to get her without any knowledge of this. She might not have any knowledge of the show whatsoever. I'll give her the base information about all of us and who we are, what we're about, what mm-hmm. the show's about, and I'm going to get her to write a fan fiction for us.
I've already had one.
We've had one, but I want to see what we can get out of someone who has no connection to this podcast and how deep that rabbit hole goes. Like,
does she work 9 to 5? Ching.
Like,
I don't even know if
I don't even know if you like you have to pay her. Like, there's no bucket or anything. She just sits here like a typewriter, like.
Fucking performance on.
Yeah, it's quite funny going down there. It was like she's explaining this, like, what are you doing? It's like, all right, smart as you wait. It's like, no dirty stories, like sex stories. This guy's got no idea. It's like, what? Yeah, like naughty stories, like, you know, you tell me about your sex life and then I write something really off the wall. And like, that was when she was doing that weird explanation with him, that was the moment I was like, yes. 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 I am I'm going to pay her money and write get her to write a fan fiction for us.
Fair enough.
Don't pay people money because then the people that we like to have send us stuff and expect payment.
Yeah.
No, that ain't happening. This is extracurricular.
if you would like to send us fan fiction or talk to us in any way, please talk to us on facebook.com/fiveclubpod or at Five Club, Twitter at Five Club, Instagram Five Club. Or email ken@fiveclub.co.uk or go on our website at fiveclub.co.uk.
Yeah, that is beautiful.
And if you want to check out our beautiful merch store, you can also go to fiveclub.co.uk where I'm currently wearing the Five Club Not Funny, Not Interesting t-shirt, which it's is always
a great advert.
I've got the t-shirt, you can get the hat, you can get duffel bags, you can get pennies, you can get teddy bears as well.
And I think I'm going to try and get another couple of designs up. I keep saying this, but I've got some ideas and I've kind of been playing about with a few things and just kind of keep those rolling.
And if you do buy something, take a photo of yourself with it.
Yeah, and send it to us.
Because that would be awesome. And then wear it everywhere you go.
And if you fancy chucking us a buck as well, you can do that. There's a donations page. Anything, if you do want to, we'd totally appreciate it. It just helps us keep the lights on, basically. And if we end up with more money than keeping the lights on, it will let us get some new equipment and upgrade and go to events and things like that. So as I say, no pressure. We'll always do this for nothing. But if you want to, please feel free.
Just don't write it off come about us.
No, don't.
Lol.
We would not survive that.
Podcasts are unregulated so far.
Yeah, no, that's got to change. Anyway,
the dark days.
It does bring me to that time of the evening. I have to ask James, what is the motto this week?
Much less a motto, but more a call to arms. The Fringe Festival has hundreds of thousands of people all around the town. If you are a fan of Fife Club, if you listen to the Fife Club podcast, the first rule of podcast is talk about Fife Club. Tell everyone you see at the Fringe this year about Fife Club and get them to tune in and listen to it.
That's a good shout. So do that.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, good night.
Night.
Cheerio.